Our scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, and I'll be reading from chapter 2 this morning, and just a few verses, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of his word. We've been on a journey here for a while these past several weeks. We actually could look way back until the last Sunday of November when we started the season of Advent. And that season for us was the coming of Christ. That was God incarnate. God with us. And so Christ is with us in the season of Advent and Christmas. Then we journeyed on through the season of Advent and Christmas, and it brought us to the season of Lent and Easter. And Easter, of course, is when Christ died for us. And so as we consider Easter, Lent, and Easter, we see Christ for us. So Christmas is Christ with us, Easter is Christ for us. And now as we have journeyed past the season of Easter and those Sundays following, we've come past the Ascension, and finally now we've arrived 50 days after Easter to the day of Pentecost. And if Christmas is Christ with us and Easter is Christ for us, then Pentecost is Christ in us. Christ in us. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And maybe we're not as familiar with that in our church, in Protestant churches, as they are in maybe more hierarchical churches or churches that spend more time with these special days. But this, I would say, is one of the top three holidays, if you will, holy days, on our sacred calendar of events for the church. And in fact, it is the birth of the church. It is here in the book of Acts, on this day of Pentecost, that the church began. Even though the word church is not mentioned there, we know that this is, and we recognize this as the time. I would say that each and every one of us here needs and desires a deeper understanding and commitment to and through the Holy Spirit. Would you agree with that? Somebody say amen. Amen. We need to get that kind of an experience with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it is through the power of the Holy Spirit who resides in us, Christ in us, that we are transformed, that we're able to be made into his image and to his likeness. And it is through that Holy Spirit then that we get strength to carry on the ministry and mission that God has given to each and every one of us. So we all long for a power that is beyond our own, a power that will help us to be equipped to live an abundant life and to be able to carry out the ministry and mission of Jesus Christ. How many of you here this morning are just tired of the strain and the difficulties and struggles of life? Sure, raise your hand if you want to. That's fine. You don't have to. But life is difficult. Life is challenging. We've heard that this morning. The financial situation is increasingly difficult for many people in our world today and right here in our own community. We're tired of these kinds of struggles and these types of strains. But I have some good news for you today. In the midst of that struggle, in the midst of that pain, there is hope. There is hope for those who are in Christ when Christ is in you. And even though there is strain, even though there are struggles, there are difficult days, Christ living in you can make the difference.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So what is it that happened at Pentecost? What is it that took place on this day that we're recognizing today? Well, I think that on this day, the Holy Spirit came into, as Jesus promised, came to live within us. He came as a mighty rushing wind. And it says in the scripture that it's not just kind of a slight wind. It's not just a little breath. No, instead it says it's a violent wind. So to me, when I think of that, growing up in the Midwest here, I think of a tornado. I think of a straight line wind. I think of the strength of that wind. And that is how the Holy Spirit first shows himself to the disciples who are gathered in this upper room. Now there are 12 again, because we've skipped over the anointing, if you will, of Matthias, who has now been chosen by Lot to come in to be part of the disciples. And so that is what is starting to happen here. But as we also think about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, we must think about the church. And what is the greatest need of the church? This is an age-old question that people have asked, and over again through the centuries and through the decades. What is it that the church needs? What is it that is going to happen to help the church to grow spiritually, numerically, etc.? What is it that's going to help people become deeper involved and be disciples of Jesus Christ? There's the quest, I hope, among you and in your hearts, the quest for something deeper, something more. Now, you know, every church wants to grow numerically, I hope, because that's one of the reasons that we exist. So we think about that, but we also long for something more than just a boring or dull religion. When we come here, we don't want to just go through the motions. We don't want to experience the same old thing over and over and over and over again, because it's familiar and it's we're complacent with it. The key to growth and the key and the greatest longing of people today is a need for intimacy, a need for inspiration that only God's Spirit can provide. In a day and age in which we're connected more than we've ever been before, we could be no more disconnected than we are today. And some of you here who have been around a long time, I think, would certainly agree to this. You know, when we had that phone and it just hung on the wall, you know, there was some freedom in that. I remember when we got the long cord for our phone. My mom could finally stretch that phone from the wall in the dining room all the way into the kitchen sink and all the way into the living room in our house. But it was still connected to the wall. That's where that phone stayed. You remember those days? I long for those days. I mean, those were some good days when you could just leave the phone on the wall at home and not carry it around with you in your pocket. But we're looking for a time in which we can connect with people. And I think that's what we're hearing and seeing some successes in what Patrick shared with us today and what Elizabeth shared with us today, where people are finding common needs and goals and times in which they're struggling, and yet they're able to come together and share in Jesus Christ and by the love and help of other people to rise above. I would say to you today that it is impossible, I want you to hear that, it is impossible to live the Christian life without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is impossible to live the Christian life without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Christ in us.
Yes.
Christ in us. Those of you who have been baptized, whatever mode it might have been, whether you were sprinkled, whether you were immersed, whether you were dipped, whatever the case may be, it in that baptism, and by the way, we practice immersion here at this church, we get you all wet.
Yeah.
When we are baptizing someone, we believe that God's Spirit descends upon us, and at that moment, Christ's Spirit takes up residence and lives within our hearts. And so it is impossible for us to live the Christian life without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That Spirit is the one that guides us. That Spirit is the one that energizes us to continue on. So the church today, like the disciples in that upper room, whether it was the same upper room in which they gathered for the Last Supper, or whether, as we reflect back on Luke chapter 24, verse 53, where it says they stayed in Jerusalem and they praised God at the temple all day long, perhaps they were there in an upper room. Wherever it was that they were waiting there for a miracle as Jesus had directed them to do. I want you to go to this place. I want you to wait there. So let's consider for a moment this morning, what is the miracle of Pentecost? When I talk about a miracle, I'm using that term carefully this morning. When I speak about a miracle of Pentecost, I'm talking about an intervention of a supernatural power. An intervention of a supernatural power that comes to us from God through Jesus Christ and then through and by the Holy Spirit. It's with keeping in a higher spiritual law which supersedes all the laws of human nature. So we think about our laws and physics and all of those kinds of things that are part of our existence in this world today. And as we consider that, we know that we have some limitations because we're human beings, right? We have limitations, and many people think that we are the way that we are because of the environment in which we were raised, and I would agree that there's some truth to that. The conditioning to which we've had, how our parents raised us, how we were taught in school, what part of the country we were from, or whether we're from another country. The kind of training that we received, and some people believe that these personality types or these traits in our lives are irrevocable, that that's the way you are and that's the way you're always going to be and there's nothing that can change it. Our talents and our intellectual abilities are believed to be defined by the limits of our performance. But herein comes the Holy Spirit, and herein comes the power of the transformation that comes because of the day of Pentecost, the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus said, I'll send one that's going to be the comforter, the guide. I'm going to send to you the Spirit. You see, our laws are statements of how things usually work, but the Spirit of God does not look at those laws. He's not limited by those laws. There is a higher power. And that higher power is a higher power that can go beyond those and that is able to multiply the human potential, the potential that you have, that you and I have. The Spirit of God can take that and multiply it. I had a professor in college say to me one time, he said, there's talent here, but you need to work at it. You need to pray about it. You need to hone the skill. As one sharpens the other, so one man sharpens the other, so another sharpens another. That kind of thing. You work at that, but the Holy Spirit is in that. And in that miracle of Pentecost, people are transformed. One person is able to think beyond their personal limitations and their capabilities. Here's what Matthew chapter 19, verse 25 says. Jesus said this to his disciples, and looking at them, Jesus said, with people, this is possible. He's talking about salvation here. With people, this is possible, but with God, all things are possible. With people, salvation is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. And then my life verse, Philippians 4:13. And I want to stress to you the importance of this thing. It's not the first half of it, it's the last. I can do all things, forget that, through Christ. That's the thing you got to remember. You and I can do all things, but we can't do them by our own power. We do them through the power of Jesus Christ. So on the day of Pentecost, there were 120, and there was another crowd in addition to the 12 now disciples that have reassembled. They were frightened. They were inadequate. They were discouraged. They were willful men and women, but they were transformed into new creatures.
Yeah.
It is in the book of Revelation that John shares his vision, and he says, "Behold, I make all things new," Revelation 21:5. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we read, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation." In Christ, Christ in you. It is only through Christ, it is only by God's power through the Holy Spirit that you and I are able to be transformed from those human limitations that we have into the people that God would want us to become. And he's fashioning us to be like him in every way. So this day of Pentecost, again, maybe you've heard of it, maybe it doesn't seem like that big of a deal to you, but I, again, would submit to you, it's right up there with Christmas and Easter. And so I want you to think about, this is not something that just came about. This is prophesied in Scripture. If you have your bulletin there with you this morning, you picked it up, you'll notice that right under the left-hand column on the front page, under the prayer request, down a ways, where it says prayer, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this is prophesied in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. "And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, your sons and your daughters." I like that because it includes men and women. "Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And even on my servants," and he says again, "both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." This is the prophecy of what is known here as Pentecost. And of course, in biblical times, it wasn't known as Pentecost. It was known as the feast, the harvest feast. That was one of the things it was known by. And it was also known as, well, I'll find it in a minute and we'll come back to it. So Joel prophesied about it, but Jesus also prophesied about it. Jesus prophesied about the coming of the Spirit. He was the Word, and the Word was with God from the very beginning. And Jesus said, "The hour is coming, and is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So both the Old Testament prophet Joel prophesied about this day, and Jesus spoke about this day and prophesied that this day would happen. God is spirit. And we are created spiritual beings in and through him. But it is our spirit that is that port of entry. It is our spirit where the Spirit, capital S, enters into us. And we have to look at ourselves as human vessels. We are the vessel through which Christ can do his work and ministry. So again, I want to lift up to you what I think one of the greatest needs of the church is today is for a contemporary Pentecost. When I speak about that, I'm not talking about Pentecostalism, the religion, as there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not speaking about that. I'm talking about the event and the things that happened on that day of Pentecost. And the dynamics of that day were three things. One is wind, which we've talked about a little bit. The second is fire. And the third is praise. Picture the disciples now, if you will, with me. Again, you picture these guys that have been following Jesus around for 3+ years now. And he's told them over and over again, don't be afraid, don't be scared, peace be with you. And he sent angels and so forth and so on. And yet here these guys are again. They're following what he said to do, go back to Jerusalem and wait there for me. And they praise God continually in the temple. That's what was happening. But imagine them all sitting in that upper room. Imagine them all there, expectantly waiting and praying. And then a wind began to stir. Maybe at first it was like a breath. You know, you feel a bit of a breeze. You feel that cool breeze, which is always welcome in the summer time and in the heat. And that's when this was, by the way. This was one of the harvests. Feast of Weeks was the second one I was trying to remember. So they were gathered there, and they were celebrating this time of harvest, the first harvest. The second one was later in the fall. They were praying, and then that wind began to stir, and then it grew stronger. And it picked up, you know, like it does right before a storm. And you know it's coming. And you can sniff the air, and there's that scent. You know that something's coming. There's a storm about to come. And then the wind grows stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And it's a violent, mighty, rushing wind. And it just blows through all of a sudden. This was the Spirit of God coming to that place, rushing and rumbling like thunder for the disciples. This wind is mentioned in Scripture. It's mentioned in Ezekiel. And I can still hear my professor from Brazil. He said to us in seminary, our Old Testament professor, "When I was a boy in Brazil," he always talked to us like, "When I was a boy in Brazil, those dry bones, they rose up." You know, and he talked to us about those dry bones. And it says the prophecy was breath. The prophecy, the Son of Man, and say to the breath, "Thus says the Lord God, come the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live." These dry bones were raised up by the breath of God. And life was breathed into them. And then Jesus, when he spoke to Nicodemus in the New Testament, he told him these things: "Do not marvel at what I said to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So everyone must be born of the Spirit." So in the upper room, these disciples, those within the temple perhaps, 120 gathered. Later on, we find that 3,000 were added to the church that day. But for our purposes here, these 12 disciples were in this upper room, and 120 others were close by. And this wind rushed in, and it was an irresistible force. When I was a young boy, my dad would take us down to the local car wash. There were no automatic car washes. In fact, many times the automatic car wash was my brother and me. I remember Don McRae telling me one time, he said, Pauline wanted a dishwasher. And he looked at Pauline in all seriousness and he said, "I don't know why we need a dishwasher. We got four girls. We don't need a dishwasher." That's a little bit bad, isn't it? But that's what Don said. I was the car wash, and my brother and I, but we'd go down there. And my dad would wash the car, you know, with a sprayer and all that. And then he would take it out on Highway 51. And he would do what he called blowing the cobwebs out. And it was fun. What that meant was he was going to drive fast. And he was going to blow off all the excess water. And if the car had just been tooling around town, he was going to take it for a spin. And it was going to go fast. I loved that. Cruising up Highway 51 with my dad after a car wash, blowing out the cobwebs. That's what this Spirit of God did. It blew through, and it blew out the cobwebs of their mind and their emotions, and it gave them new thoughts. It gave them new ideas. It gave them a new will. It stirred them up. It brought them back to life, just like the Spirit did for the dry bones. Now, let's talk about fire. Let's talk about fire. There's the second dynamic here. John the Baptist talked about it in the New Testament in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. He said, "I will baptize you with water. One mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I am unworthy to untie. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This is interesting. that this baptism of the Spirit, but then another dynamic of that Spirit is fire. Tongues of fire appeared before over their heads. These tongues of fire, it was the winnowing fork. And if you don't know what the winnowing fork is, those of you who bale hay must know what it is. It's that pitchfork type thing. It's got like five or six prongs on it and big opening gaps in between. And you, that's what you do. And you use that to separate the wheat and the chaff. And the scripture says that his winnowing fork will separate the wheat from the chaff. The chaff, the husk, or the surroundings of the seed that are not needed, but the seed is what is needed. And so in his hand to clear the threshing floor is the winnowing fork, and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. What that scripture is speaking about is clear. It's the judgment. Yes. It's a time of judgment when he will separate the wheat from the chaff. Those who have come to him by faith, those who in whom the Spirit resides, and those who do not. And they will be separated, as is often talked about, the sheep and the goats. This sounds like a terrible purging, doesn't it? In fact, that's what it is. But in this judgment, there is yet good news. There is good news and great promise, because the Spirit burns that chaff. It separates it. And those who have survived, those who have continued on, the wheat of the Lord have chaff in their minds and their hearts, which needs to be done away with. And the Lord removes that with his winnowing fork and takes away those things which would cripple us and disable us from carrying out and doing his perfect will and what we were meant to be doing. But the fire of the Holy Spirit is so much more than that. Not only is it a tool of judgment, not only is it this tool to separate what's good and what's not, it's also a piece that refines and galvanizes. You ever watch that knife making show on TV? Forged fire? What is it? Forged
in fire.
There you go, Forged in Fire. That's it. I watch it, but I don't always remember the titles of them. Forged in Fire. I bet you watch that with your dad, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you. I bet you did. Anyway, that takes care of taking care of this iron, this steel, and separating out the impurities and making it strong. And then there's a test at the end to see how well they put it together. That's what the Holy Spirit's fire does. It refines us. It galvanizes us. We don't have to stay the way that we are. We don't have to stay the way that we are. Did you hear that? We don't have to stay the way that we are. The indwelling God makes us like himself. And he's only just begun. I'm not like I used to be. And neither are you. But we're not all yet what we're going to be. A third dynamic is the enthusiasm and the love which is there for us in this Spirit of fire. This Spirit transforms us. It flows through us. It gives us the ability to be loving. I've shared with you before, and you know this in your own walk, there are some people that are more difficult to love than others. And based on who we are, sometimes we don't want to help other folks that don't see things the way we do. But it is only by the Spirit of God that we're able to love beyond ourselves. You know, the kind of philos, the brotherly love, the sisterly love that exists, that's something that we work on. But what I'm talking about here is that deeper love. What Jesus challenged Peter in John 21, he said, I want you to have this agape love. It's a self-emptying, self-denying love. And so you put those interests aside and you lift someone up. That's what I see happening here, or hear about happening here on Monday nights in lives of people. I'm sure it happened at Vacation Bible School. I'm sure it happens at Horse Camp and other ministries in our community. We all need the fire of the Holy Spirit to convince us of the fact that we are loved, but that we also have the capability then and the qualities to share that love, to forgive, and yes, to forget, and to give ourselves freely to someone who is in need. That's the kind of love that this Spirit talks about. Well, finally, we'll talk about praise. 120 people that day, 12 disciples gathered in that upper room in Jerusalem for the celebration of Pentecost. Wasn't known as Pentecost then, the Feast of Weeks, the Harvest of Weeks. That was there. Those that were gathered there were filled with the Spirit, but they were filled with the Spirit in order that they could praise and that they could proclaim. One of the things that happened in verse 4 is that they began to speak to each other in tongues, okay? This is not the same kind of tongues that you think about as the gifts of that God provides. It's not the gift of tongues that we're talking about here. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit that is here that allows them to speak in languages that were not their own. Not a holy language like the speaking in tongues, but if you were, say you spoke English, but all of a sudden you could speak Spanish. Okay, that's what's happening here. And people were able to understand each other in their different languages that were happening here. The Spirit did that in order that they could praise and then that they could proclaim, that they could tell what was happening. And for the time of proclamation, that happens in the next portion of this scripture. So you're going to have to come back next week for that. And you're going to have to hear about what Peter, what Peter says. And so I'm going to hold that one for you. But Luke tells us in his gospel, and by the way, Luke is the same author of Luke's gospel, same author here in Acts, same person. Luke tells us that the people in that upper room were filled with the Spirit. Yes. Patty's sister Donna used to say, "You have that full look." When we were sitting at the dinner table, she said, "David, you have that full look." And you know what I'm talking about. Those of us who like to eat a little bit, you know, you get full and you get that full look. And you maybe have to loosen a belt notch or, you know, unbutton a button around your waist. You got that full look. It says here in the scripture that they were filled. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. There wasn't any more room left. You know, it was like the cup that was overflowing. They were filled to the Spirit. They were ready now. They were ready to go out and proclaim. They were ready to take what Jesus had taught them. Even though they didn't always understand it, now they were filled with that Spirit and they're ready to go out. They were ready to do the things that He called them to do. They were full, which means that the Spirit was part of every facet, every function, every facility of their nature. That Spirit was a part of them and lived in them. It was infused into them. That's what the Spirit of God does. The Spirit is like a mighty rushing wind. It is like a strong fire. And it is a Spirit that gives us the opportunity to praise and to proclaim. So what does this all mean for us? It means that we can be transformed. It means that we are the vessels through which the Spirit moves and operates and continues to be part of this world. It is that Spirit that says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. The minds are renewed. The brains are renewed. Our wills, our emotions, our physical bodies, all of the spirituality that we have, it's all transformed into the nature of God. And the praise that which we will have on this Sunday and Sundays to come is the undeniable experience of Pentecost. Listen. Do you hear the wind? Let it whisper to you. Let it speak to your heart today. Let it grow louder within you. Let it become that violent wind that blows out the cobwebs of your life. Let that fire roll over you and take out all of those things within you that are holding you back from being the person, the Christian, that God wants you to be. And let that praise flow. Let the Spirit of God free within you to be the person that He would have you to be. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank You for this day. We are so grateful that You have sent to us the Holy Spirit. We are grateful, Lord, that You have called us to be here today on this special Sunday to hear about that Spirit. Thank You that at Christmas You were God with us. Thank You that Easter You were Christ for us, and that here on Pentecost You are the Spirit within us. Thank You, O God, for these truths that have been given to us today by Your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.